Good day to all listeners and welcome to the Carpenter's Corner Studio. It's your lady Maybell here, and I'm here again with a lot and a lot of information when it comes to the carpentry work. For the past few weeks, we've been giving you a whole lot of education when it comes to the carpentry work and what it really entails. But today, we are giving it a different touch. Let me ask this question. Does the economy have an impact on the business? If it does, we will know. If it doesn't, we will still know. But since we are here in the Carpenter's Corner Studio, be rest assured that we are giving you nothing but the best. I will not do this alone. I have here with me Franklin Addison, Ruth Nyame, and Emanuela Ajo Amozu. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so a lot of people think the carpentry business has a lot of money, like it fetches them a lot of money. Why? Because they put woods into beautiful artifacts. What's your take on that? I'll start with you, Ella.
Okay, so I'll say people, if a job or something you do doesn't fetch a lot of money, you won't be doing it. And no, carpentry shops are everywhere. When you pass here, you see something. And they are building new buildings every day, so they need furniture. So I'll say it fetches them a lot of money. That is my.
Okay, Rue, do you have something to say?
Yes, I do. I would say carpentry work sometimes fetches money, because depending on where your shop is located, that will determine whether your work is going to fetch you money or not. For example, if my shop is at Labadi, I can sell a door costing 300 cedis for 200 cedis, but somebody's shop in East Lagos can't sell one door for 200 cedis. Okay. So depending on where your shop is located will fetch you money.
Okay, but you see, we are all in a particular country at the moment, and there are economic crises. I believe every country has its ups and downs when it comes to monetary issues and other things. So don't you think whenever there is an inflation, it affects their business? Don't you think that there is an economic impact on it, being it positively or negatively? Frank, your take on that?
You know, basically, Ghana is going through a lot, and the economic hardship is across virtually every sector.
Okay.
The artisans are feeling the heat, just like the normal civil servants and the teachers. But then, if we want to look at the economic aspect, I'll play a little of the devil's advocate here.
Okay.
The average carpenter who lives in the normal society, who, let's say, doesn't make much, in a day can make 20 cedis.
Okay.
Why? Because he lives in a society where he creates tools, he patches doors, maybe someone's net is torn, he has to fix it.
Yeah.
In a day, even that 20 cedis is, I would say it's even huge. He maybe make 5 or 10 cedis a day. Now the question goes to, how much do they spend on their raw materials before creating the specific artifact? Carpenters have to go and buy the raw woods, transportation of the raw woods to the shop, sometimes the fine-tuning of it in the sander, which is the machine used to fine-tune it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the glue,
yeah,
and many others. Now, if, for instance, I'm a carpenter and I have to make a door, now, if I calculate every amount of money I have spent, including transportation, raw materials, and workmanship, let's say my door is supposed to cost roughly, let's say 500 cedis. Somebody may come to purchase my door. The person may not give me 500 cedis. Why? Because the person is coming to bargain. Now, the person's bargaining power may be so strong that at the end of the day,
you have to give
I have to give in, and I may sell it at maybe 350 cedis.
Yeah.
I don't get there, I find at a loss. Why? Because my workmanship may have been cut down. Transportation is so high because of fuel.
Yeah.
I have to. So meaning that I don't get there, I have run at a loss. Wouldn't that affect my next business if I have to go into the market to buy building materials? Because even en route to the market, I have to take transportation again.
Okay.
I may go and then prices may have increased. Will I go and tell that person who purchased my door at 50 cedis that now it has been increased, and do you think the person will believe me? No. I hope you understand.
I get it.
So sometimes, you see, the business sells, artisans sell, but the question is, the locality counts.
Okay.
Where is the person selling it?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the publics? Which people come and buy the artifacts? For instance, when you go to Accra, I think the art center,
mm-hmm.
most of them sell lots of artifacts.
That's true.
The drums, those local artifacts, the drums, the gong and those stuffs are all from artistic works. And those stuffs are purchased most of them by foreigners.
That's
the
true.
Whites.
Yes, when they come to Ghana.
They make lots of revenue. I'm a Ghanaian. If I go there and you tell me to buy a normal drum, maybe it's 200 cedis. I'll tell you maybe 50, I'll buy it at 50 cedis. Oh yeah, I'll buy it at 50 cedis.
Yeah,
but then if someone from, let's say, you know, the UK, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When a person comes, even at 1,000 cedis, the person will purchase it. Because it's a thing of beauty.
Yes.
I hope you understand. Look at the year of return.
Mm-hmm.
Most artisans made lots of money.
It's true.
From the beads makers to the carpenters, all over. Mm-hmm. They made money. Because the foreigners who came in wanted to send an artifact to mm-hmm. go and show to people there that indeed I come from a continent.
Okay.
You get my point?
Yes, I get it.
So from that aspect, they made revenues. But then now that everything has gone low, year of return is over. we've all come back to life.
We have to face reality.
We have to face reality. And now with the reality, you can't sell that drum as 1,000 cedis. And as we are back to square one. 50 cedis is even so high.
Ghana. You see,
Ghana. 50 cedis is so high. So maybe I think basically they don't make much. Basically the average capital doesn't make much.
Really? Okay.
All right, so with what Frank said, I agree with him. Because a normal carpenter will get 5 cedis to 10 cedis a day because he's fixing just windows. But a company like Bogas won't get 5 cedis a day because I'm selling a chair.
Okay.
I don't fix windows. I don't fix nets.
Mm-hmm.
So with Bogas, I'll say they get contracts that fetches them a lot of money. And with contracts, you can make 300 chairs. And usually chairs come with tables. So
okay.
300 chairs, 300 tables. Or just chairs, like 500. So I say they make a lot of money.
Okay. Then why? Like, how are they able to get this money when it comes to Bogas, as you're saying?
I'm thinking you're asking how they get a contract.
Yes, good, exactly.
All right, so they get, like, they have connections, uh-huh. you understand? They get, they have connections with influential people
in government.
Okay. Yeah, you're getting me. And they help them procure some contracts, like,
okay. uh-huh.
So with the contracts, they don't usually make contracts for just normal people.
Mm-hmm,
with big
mm-hmm.
big people's like
yeah.
governments and see when you go even when you enter parliament they use chairs and tables
uh-huh.
so they make them for them. That is it. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. I also agree with you, yes, in the sense that just recently I visited Furniture City and it's shocking though. So I asked myself, if they are earning that amount of money from just a chair, how much will a normal carpenter, because what they are doing is nothing different. It's not different at all from what a normal carpenter is doing. I'm saying this because I saw a boss chair. I saw a boss chair over there and I went to ask for the price. Guess the price for him. How much were a boss chair?
Like 2,000.
A boss chair was 4,500.
What? 4,000? Not just 4,000, but
4,500. Furniture City.
Man. I want to fancy the assay. 4,000.
So if he is getting this is like a whole something on its own from just a chair.
It's branded. When you brand yourself, you sell things expensive.
But I know, I know someone who does these stuff. Like he has it on the fingertips like that. He can design boots and like put them into very nice shapes, but he's not getting enough. Like, he's not getting it. 300 cedis is even too much for his customers. So, as you said, yes, I think I agree with you guys. Yes, but Frank, with all of these things going on, like, the average carpenter is not able to meet up his needs, but the others too are into the same business just because they have links, they are making it big. When you come to this country and you visit some business, how do you call it, people in business, and you ask them questions related to inflation and economic crisis, they come up telling you that, okay, we need help, we need this. What do you think should be done? Like, what should be done to help them? Because it's not working.
You see, Mabel, government cannot do everything.
Okay.
That's the truth. When you go to a normal society,
mm-hmm.
we expect government to fix our roads.
Okay.
We expect government to go and buy us the cassava for fufu. We expect government to do virtually everything.
Yes.
But then government cannot do everything.
Uh-huh.
The truth is, this is where the union is important.
That is a union for the carpenters.
Specifically,
okay.
A union for the carpenters.
Okay.
You see, this union should be a regulated body.
Uh-huh.
That should regulate prices for carpenters. That's the artifacts carpenters create.
Okay.
So for instance, a normal chair, a chair is a chair, whether it is a boss chair, an armchair, a sofa, there should be a range. So for instance, the chair can be within the range of 1,005 to 2,000.
Okay.
So if I am a carpenter and I decide, okay, I'll sell mine at 2,000, the next person across the street may sell at 1,005, some 1,007. It depends on the society.
Yes.
And that should be the main priority for us. You see, the regulatory body should always focus on aiding their people.
Okay.
The people's interest should be at heart.
That's true.
You get my point?
Yes.
If there is a body in charge, the likes of Bogas and Furniture City will not be charging outrageous prices.
Mm.
Because if they notice that, okay, the person next door is creating the same thing but can sell it at a cheaper rate, then why would they skyrocket their prices?
It will drop.
Also, you see, I want to come back to my sister LSM point,
okay,
about the procurement aspect.
Yeah.
You see, we all know how Ghana have become.
That's true. If it's who you know.
It's who you know. Yeah, you bad. It's who you know. So for me, I know that in the procurement sector, there must be a bid. You need to bid.
Okay.
For people to bring their prizes. So for instance, we are 4 or 5 on this table.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to buy a furniture, for instance, government wants to buy furniture for, let's say, parliament.
Yeah.
What governments have to do is they need to try and advertise in the newspapers.
Yeah.
When they advertise, all of us will bring our prizes.
Yeah.
That's what we call procurement. So when we all bring our prizes, then they'll look at who has the cheapest rate, who has the quality.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
You get my point.
Yes.
Who has the quality? And there, you see, government wants the best. But at the same time, as you want quality, you want value for money. And you need to cut costs.
Yeah.
So if, for instance, Furniture City are selling that they are bossed there for, let's say, 4,000 cedis or 4,005, and there is a bidding, if there's a bidding, there's a likely government to even get it at a cheaper rate of maybe even 1,000
sure.
or even 2,000 cedis. But what governments are doing, because of the kind of connections that may... Ella said that is in government. So what they do is that we call something sole procurementship.
Okay.
What they are doing is only one person brings their prizes.
And they take it.
And then they take it. Instead of advertising for virtually everybody to be on the table.
Okay.
You get my point.
So then it means, yes, when it continues like that, then it means the richer becomes richer, like the rich becomes richer, always when the poor remains poor.
That is it. So for me, I think we need one thing too is that we must also try to strengthen our procurement laws in the country. If we don't strengthen the procurement laws, certain people who have the connections will continue to have the contracts, and those who are also in the same profession yet with no connections will not get. You get my point?
I get it.
So I think that's it. From my angle, I think we just have to... Because I really feel for those who don't have the connections.
Yes.
Because if you go to the society, it's really affecting the normal carpenters to the extent that some of them are even getting divorced.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. They are getting divorced because they can't cater for their families.
Wow.
And it is very painful for a man. to see his children and wife lingering in hardship, poverty.
Wow.
It's very painful, maybe. It's painful. It's painful.
How I would, like, listeners, I'm out of words. I don't even know what to say. Yes, I agree with my guests. Yes, I agree with my panel very well. Like, yes, there should be a union, and this union should help them get great rates for their products. Because if it continues like this, then I just don't know what to say.
It's actually heartbreaking to hear what some of our carpenters go through as a result of being like a normal carpenter, yes, without links. It's actually sad to hear this, but all the same, I will have to thank my usual guest for coming, and I will thank you, Franklin Addison. It's been him, yes, your usual guest, and Emanuela Anjo Amuzu and Ruth Nyame. Yes, thank you so much for coming. Listeners, we will have to end the show. It's been an emotional one here this afternoon, but I will leave it in your hands to think about it. Do you think our carpenters are treated fairly in the country, or because they don't have links? But as I'm leaving, I will leave with my usual saying: COVID is in the system, max up when you're going out. And since we are dealing with the carpenters, I would nail it here and see you in the next episode.